My next guest is Adam Caton Holland, a writer, comic, and actor who co-created and starred in the TV show Those Who Can't for 3 seasons. In his heart-wrenching and very fun new book, Adam catalogs his rise to comedy greatness and simultaneously explores how his family coped with the suicide of his younger sister, Lydia. It's called Tragedy Plus Time. Adam was originally scheduled to perform stand-up at Marble Distilling this Saturday, but that show has been postponed. Thanks for still doing the interview, Adam. It's great to have you back on KD&K.
Yeah, thanks for still wanting to do it. These are strange times, but happy to talk about other things.
Yeah. Well, let me start by asking you about one of your biggest moments in comedy, your first time doing Conan. You write about it in the book. After other highlights like making a name for yourself in Denver comedy, becoming a touring headliner, and getting some Amazon money to produce a TV pilot with your friends, talk about what it meant to you to get invited to do Conan and then to go and do it.
It meant the world. I mean, as a comedian, that sort of first late night set is a real stamp of credibility. And, you know, I love David Letterman. He was probably my first love, but a concurrent love was Conan. Like, I loved Conan from when he was a writer on The Simpsons, and I just liked how weird he was with his late-night stuff. So, you know, Letterman, by the time I got around to being eligible for late-night spots, had already retired. So I was very pumped to do Conan. And, yeah, it was just like that was the dream spot. There was no other spot that I wanted besides that one at that point. So it was something I'd worked for a long time. It was incredible. It was head swimming stuff.
And you write about it in your book. Talk about how it went.
It went great. It went really great. But it was, I feel like there's these thresholds in comedy where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I've done this or I'm about to do this. And now I'm 16 years into comedy, and definitely things will scare me still. But it's nice to have that new feeling of being scared. And I had the butterflies at that taping like I'd never had. I mean, I was, you know, it was like the first time I did comedy. I thought I was going to pass out. But as soon as I got the first laugh from the audience, you're like, oh, yeah, it's just comedy. I've done this a million times. But, yeah, it's you get in your head.
It's easy to look up that clip from Conan, and it's great. It went really well. You were so funny. And then guess what I found on YouTube? Footage of a packed bar in Denver. All tuning in to watch your debut on Conan together. And I think this was filmed and posted by Johnny Five from the band The Flowbots.
Yeah, Jamie, he's a buddy of mine. That's right.
So it's dizzying, and it kind of makes the hair on the back of the neck stand up to watch so many Coloradans cheering you on and obviously feeling proud of you. And I guess as a comedian and actor, being from Colorado is in fact part of your identity. You're not some guy from nowhere trying to make it in LA. You're an East High School angel, aren't you?
Yes. But yes, put that on my tombstone.
So your favorite baseball team is the Rockies. My question is, did that identity, that sense that your success is ours, that you're a proud Colorado product, did that change the equation at all when you embarked on the revealing process of writing this memoir, Tragedy Plus Time?
I don't know. I don't think I love this state and the city of Denver so much, and I really am honored to be, you know, supported by it. Like, people, you know, coming out to a bar to watch that first late night debut, that's amazing. That's like, it's a cool feeling to be supported by your scene like that. But in terms of the book, I don't think I thought of anything other than my own grief and trying to sort of work through a lot of my thoughts on losing my little sister. So no, I didn't feel any pressure one way or the other, or feel like I was being indicative of anything other than what I was going through.
How did writing about your sister's death and your family more broadly help you channel your grief?
I mean, truthfully, when I set out to write the book, I didn't want to write something like self-helpy or, and this is how you get better, because I don't even know if I'm that much better. I wrote it really straight up to work through the stuff I was going through. Mm. I didn't sit down at the desk with the mindset of like, I've gathered my thoughts and here they go on paper. I found my thoughts as I wrote them, and just doing that and telling the story of everything that my sister and my family and myself went through was really like therapy. I mean, I just worked through it as I wrote it down. So I cried a lot and I thought a lot, and it was a very deep experience for me to write that, but I think if it came out as quite honest.
Yeah, I'm speaking with comic actor and author Adam Caton Holland. The book is Tragedy Plus Time. I got it from the library, but that's not going to be as easy to do right now. You said it is available on Audible. Who did the audio for this?
I did the audio. I went to a studio right in Denver. I didn't have to go anywhere over kind of in the South Alameda area. And it was kind of a cool experience. Obviously, it's a hard subject to read, but, you know, they tap you in with a director who was in New York, worked for Simon & Schuster, and this is what they do. So they've kind of coached me on how to read it better. And it was, you know, 2 days of just reading your book. So it's my voice. And also, it's such a personal story. Like, I didn't want somebody else to read it. I wanted to read it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to have to go listen to it. Having read it and enjoyed it so much, hearing you tell those stories, I'm sure, like, the jokes will have extra zing and the tears will have extra wrench. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's a different experience with the author personally reading it, but so I wanted anyone getting an Audible to sort of have that.
Well, I really think that this could be a time when a lot of people could find laughs and tears in your book and maybe relate to things going on in the world right now. You also write about someone telling you to give yourself permission to find peace. In addition to this writing process, and you said it's not like writing your book fixed everything, but how else can you describe the process of finding peace after losing your sister outside of the writing and comedy thing? I mean, you talk about going on hikes, for example. What else did you do to cope?
Well, truthfully, I got to say, you know, I don't know if I've found peace. Like, and I talk about this a lot. I feel like there's this sort of misconception with grief and loss and sadness that you're going to get to a point of healing. And I'm here very much to say you will not. Like, it sucks, and it's always going to suck, and to think anything else is naive. It may get a little easier as time passes, but that loss is never going away. And I just think being okay with that and realizing that you are a little bit lesser of a person now because of this is okay. And, you know, as you talk about these current times, even without the crazy corona panic we're experiencing right now, everyone is dealing with stuff all the time. Like, in writing so openly about mental illness and depression and suicide, you would not believe the number of people that have reached out to me. And, you know, it's not 6 degrees of separation with this stuff. It's 1 degree. Everyone knows someone suffering from this. And, you know, taking a leap forward for these current times, clearly everyone knows someone suffering from this virus or the anxiety of it. And so I think there's just the human empathy of realizing that guy is going through something as well, odds are. And just allowing yourself to be like, it's okay to be frail and scared and sad. This is part of the human experience. We all run away from it so much that it's like scary. But when you kind of realize it's common, it seems less scary.
And that's part of what makes your book so powerful, Adam, is that it feels so relatable, everything, the great moments, the worst moments. And it doesn't seem like some far-off, distant thing. It's exactly like you're talking about. It's something that is very familiar and scary. And not that I've been through what you have, but you relate it so simply. It doesn't seem like, I bet this book was a lot harder to write than it reads.
Well, that's great to hear. I appreciate that. And truthfully, like, I kind of wanted the book to be a reflection of Lydia. And Lydia was obviously suffered from a lot of issues and had a hard time. But she was also very, very funny and smart and dark. And I think life is kind of like that. It's not just like, and then we were sad for a period, and then we were happy for a period. And then it was scary for a period, and then it was funny for a period. It's all happening at once. And that's just the complex tapestry of life. And I feel like the book sort of does a job of doing that. And Lydia lived like that, like we all do. It's not that simple. Life is pretty complicated and can be funny and sad in a second of each other.
And you also write that when she moved back home to Denver from Colorado Springs, she got more involved in the comedy scene and even helped you with tweaking bits and impacting your writing. And so it does seem like your writing process has mirrored, whether she was working with you on a joke or not, has mirrored exactly what you're saying, that your own stand-up before and after this book are also not just only dick jokes or only serious.
No, for sure. I have some stuff that's way more serious. I've actually been doing a one-man show based off the book that's getting a lot of attention. But, you know, I try not to overthink my stuff because then you turn into this navel-gazing artist. But
sure.
If I do step back and think about what I'm doing sometimes, I often will be like, would Lydia like this? Because she was a really good barometer, and I respected her sense of humor. So she's a helpful guide in that way still.
Well, and you guys were raised by social justice minded parents, and so part of what you're doing in this book, whether you meant to or not in terms of dealing with your own issues, was you are helping others. And so I guess my last question, Adam, is do you have suggestions for getting the creative juices flowing while people are sitting at home right now?
I'm trying to do that myself. Like, I sat down and tried to work on a script I'm working on, and it's like, my head's not here. I'm, like, worried about a global pandemic.
Yeah.
I guess it's, you know, don't stress it if it ain't coming, but be diligent about it. Like, you know, I try to spend 2 hours a day just at a computer trying to work on stuff. So be diligent. Don't be lazy. Give yourself the opportunity to try to work on stuff. But, you know, hopefully this all clears in a couple of months. Let's hope. Wouldn't it be cool to come out of that with something cool to show for it? Like, get some work done. Just stop making excuses. Go get some work done. That's my advice.
Adam Caden Holland, the book is Tragedy Plus Time, a tragicomic memoir. It's fabulous. Don't miss it, folks. And you can get it in audiobook format from the comfort of the confines of wherever you are right now.
Yes. When we return to normal times, please run to an independent bookstore and buy it. But until then, do not go out and make any more risk. Please get it on Audible if you're so inclined.
Adam Caden Holland, we can't wait to get you rescheduled here for your next gigs in the Roaring Fork Valley. And thanks for speaking to KD&K today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.